Good evening. Saturday morning, I had the privilege, as we do once a month, of going up to the Greensboro jail. Got there, and Joe Cardillo was there. Luther was there. Bruce was there. The Chandranays were there. And then a number of other folks came in as we gathered and assigned the different areas where we'll be going and prayed. And when I went to the first pod that I was assigned to, nobody ever came out, so I ended up there on the third floor going to pod H. And when I got there and told the guard, you know, I was there for a Bible study, if anybody would like to come in, one fella came in very quickly. Later, three other guys would join us, but he was the first one in, so he and I began to engage in a little conversation. He told me his name was David, that he was raised in Judaism, but he had become a Christian. And then he clarified, he said, I asked the Lord Jesus into my heart. He said, I know there could be a difference between somebody saying they're a Christian and that. So we began to talk for a few moments just privately, and he was sharing a little bit of his situation and how he had been in the courtroom just a few days before that regarding his situation. He was there on a probation violation, and he made the comment. He said, you know, I was there and my lawyer really wasn't doing anything to help me, but he said, you know, he said, I was just like snatched out of the jaws. And when he said that, my mind went to some verses that we're going to look at tonight at the end of 2 Timothy. It's in chapter 4. You can turn there, because my mind went immediately to this passage that Paul had written to Timothy right near the end of Paul's life. And then my hands went to the passage, and my eyes went to the passage, and then the passage came out of my mouth, and I began to share with him just how that had made me think of this, a very similar situation to David, who was there in the Greensboro jail, and who, in the will of the Lord, in 90 days from that day that he received his sentencing, he will be out and hopefully walking with the Lord here in the being not incarcerated anymore. We trust that, and I appreciate your prayers for that ministry and the ones who are involved in that. A really special opportunity with the gospel and seeking to share with ones in there. But when you come here to 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're gonna look at verses 16 to 18. With an emphasis on verse 17, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is the last written record that we have from Paul, and this is the very end of that as he begins to close. And he says there in verse 16, at my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. This was not our Bible study Saturday morning, but we did spend a little time talking about this and sharing just how this really applied so clearly to David and his situation, but even more so, just as much, I think, for us who were gathered here tonight. We're not, thank the Lord, we're not incarcerated, but there is an application, I think, to us. And so I'm calling this a little devotional tonight, when no one stands with you. When no one stands with you. That seemed to be the situation for Paul. You know, it says there in verse 16 that it was his first offense. So it appears that Paul, if this was his final incarceration, we're not sure of that. There's different thoughts, but most of the thoughts seem to move toward this perspective. This was his last imprisonment there in Rome, and this was a preliminary hearing. They did that back in that day, much as they do today. And so probably at his preliminary hearing, likely even before Nero possibly, definitely high officials of the Roman court system. And he says that when he was there, that no one stood with him. Nobody was there to speak on his behalf. Usually at those preliminary hearings, you could have witnesses, character witnesses, I assume, to speak on your behalf. Nobody was there. We can read back earlier in the chapter if we had time, and we could see the different ones who, for some reasons, weren't there, some good reasons, some poor reasons, a lot who were not mentioned here that were not there. I really appreciate the fact that even though no one stood with him and they all forsook him, you know, Paul's attitude, like that of the Lord Jesus and that of Stephen, may it not be charged against them. Well, we could preach a sermon right there, couldn't we? Our attitude toward people that mistreat us or forsake us. But I want to think just a little bit about this idea when no one stands with you. You know, as a local church body, you know, we want to be there for each other, don't we? And we should be. But, you know, the reality of life is that sometimes we aren't there. Sometimes we can't be there. And I think another reality of life for us is that sometimes when we're alone, it may be somewhat of our own doing. Maybe we've not allowed people to get close to us, to know maybe what's going on even in our particular circumstance. So maybe it's that we're not involved in each other's lives enough. That's true at times. Maybe we're caught up in our own lives so much that we're not really thinking about the needs of others and they're left alone. Or sometimes we've just kind of held people maybe a little bit at arm's length. And sometimes this isn't intentional. I don't know. Maybe Paul's friends, I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want to be merciful. Maybe it was unintentional. Maybe they didn't know his trial was that day. He surely doesn't make it sound like that. But, you know, maybe they were concerned about their personal safety or convenience, or I can imagine they would be pretty intimidated to show up on Paul's behalf since he was the one on trial. And then sometimes, in all honesty, I think we imagine that we're alone. I think Satan loves to do that. Make us think nobody cares, nobody knows, it doesn't matter, nobody understands, and we feel alone. And I think all of us have times when we feel alone. I know I do. I've got a wonderful wife, and she's so much there with me and part of my life, but sometimes I feel alone, and I'm sure sometimes she feels alone. And you may be sitting here tonight. You may be sitting right beside somebody very close to you, and you still might have a sense of aloneness, that nobody's standing with you. Well, I want us to look at verse 17 particularly tonight, and just In the few minutes we have, just think about three assurances about the Lord that can comfort and encourage our hearts even when no one stands with us or we don't feel like anyone is standing with us. The first assurance about the Lord is this: the Lord's presence is surer than theirs. The Lord's presence is surer than theirs. Notice that first phrase of verse 17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So verse 16, he's saying nobody stood with him. They all forsook him. And even though he doesn't blame them, he still knows it's a reality. But the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And you know, whoever the there is in your life, their presence with us is possibly contingent on their situation, on their abilities, on their feelings. And sometimes people say, you can count on me. And I think about how many people I've said that to. You know, if you need anything, let me know. I'll be there for you. You know, and I look back and say, maybe I should have been a little more proactive and not waited for them to tell me they needed me. Maybe I should have been there. But the Lord, you know, no matter how many people I've left alone, I'm thankful. Not that it's an excuse for me, because it's definitely not. But I can know that if they know the Lord Jesus as Savior, the Lord stood with them. You know, the Lord is always beside us to identify with us. That was part of it. Paul just wanted somebody there to say, I know Paul and I'm here with him. Even if he didn't say a word out loud, just their presence. The Lord said, I'll identify with you. Lord, why would you want to identify with me? You know, because he looks at me and he sees his son, the Lord Jesus, and he's always beside us to identify with us and to support us. And Paul says, not only did he stand with me, that would have been wonderful, but he also strengthened me. And I think about some of the things that Paul dealt with, and he used this same word for strengthen, which is not the usual word, even though it's based on one of the more used words for strength or power. But in Acts 9:22, he had been strengthened against opposition. In Romans 4:20, he talked about Abraham as an example of having faith that was strengthened for an impossible situation. In Ephesians 6:10, being strengthened in the Lord and His power for spiritual battle. In Philippians 4:13, to be strengthened in times of need. In 1 Timothy 1:12, to be strengthened for ministry, service for the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:1, in this very letter, to be strengthened for times of suffering. And in Hebrews 11:34, to be strengthened in times of weakness. You see, no matter the circumstance, no matter the odds, and no matter my performance, He is with me. And His presence is surer than theirs, whoever theirs is. And therefore, I want to encourage you tonight, if you feel alone, if you feel like nobody's standing with you, you can be sure that He is with you. He is beside you. Stands with you. He strengthens you. That is our Lord. Secondly, as we go on into the verse, not only is the Lord's presence surer than theirs, the Lord's purpose is bigger than yours. The Lord's purpose is bigger than yours. So that, he starts out that next phrase, so that there was a purpose in this. You see, your purpose, including myself there, is normally focused on me, right? On you. Self-focus. That's normal. And we would have understood with Paul if he just stayed in this whole idea of, hey, they all forsook me and they all abandoned me. And what am I going to do here? I'm stuck at this defense. We would have understood, because our thought is, how am I going to survive this? How am I going to handle this? What am I going to do? What's going to happen to me? And it's not that the Lord doesn't care about that. He is purposeful. He is with us to care for us and to take care of us. But He's got a bigger purpose than that. That's not the only purpose. The purpose is way bigger than Paul, way bigger than me. So that. What was the so that? Why did the Lord stand with him and strengthen him? Well, for one thing, that's the character of the Lord. And Paul belonged to the Lord. But what does Paul realize that was purpose that God had for Paul? What does he say there? So that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. The Lord has a purpose that is much bigger than your purpose. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord had Paul in this circumstance, in this prison cell, in this courtroom, not so that the gospel message would be hindered, but so that it might be heralded. That's really what the word preached there means. Heralded it. You don't have to be a preacher. You'd have to be a herald. Hark, the herald angels sing. They want to speak forth. They want to declare the message. That's why God had him there. And he said God wanted the message to be preached fully, to reach every strata of society, that all the Gentiles might hear, even Nero and his court. How else was the gospel going to reach there? How else was the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ dying for our sins and being buried and rising again and appearing, how was that going to get into the courtroom? God had a way bigger purpose than just helping Paul through a difficult situation, that we cared about Paul. so that all the Gentiles might hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And no matter how big your purpose is, His is bigger. I might not comprehend it. You may not comprehend it. But His blueprint is infinite. It's bigger than anything that we can ever imagine. I can't wait to get to heaven and find out how God was using you in your difficult aloneness. And the purpose He had. It's going to be exciting. We've got all eternity to get to hear about it, by the way. So don't get upset if yours isn't near the beginning of the line. Let's let Abraham and some of those guys, you know, go ahead of us. But I can't wait to hear that. His purpose is bigger than yours, whatever your purpose is. To trust Him to bring good out of this situation. And finally, the Lord's perspective is longer than ours. Paul goes on to finish up that verse. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, our perspective is typically short-term, especially in a crisis. You know, in a crisis, it's like about right now. What's going to happen now? And even if we're trying to widen our perspective, it's naturally still fairly temporal and immediate. And Paul, I mean, he was there too. The Lord delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. But notice what verse 18 said. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. Now, whether that's every evil work against me, of course, God allowed a lot of evil works to come against Paul. But Paul said, I'm going to be delivered out of that. Not that I'm not going to have to face it. Not that I'm going to not have to deal with it. Tradition says he was beheaded. Very likely he was. God didn't deliver him out of that. Oh, yes, He did, didn't He? He delivered him right out of that, right through that, right up into what we have there in verse 18, His heavenly kingdom. It's nice to know that even if the evil work was one of Paul's evil works, you know, Paul said, hey, you know, I don't do the things I want to do. And the things I don't want to do, that's the things I do, he says in the book of Romans. But you know, he said, even if the evil work is my own evil work, God's going to deliver me out of that. I can't eternally derail myself. He's going to preserve me for His heavenly kingdom. Now he's getting God's perspective. This is the Lord's perspective. It's a heavenly perspective. And he goes on to say, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's an eternal perspective. It's said that in the Greek, this is like the best you can do to describe eternity with the Greek that's used there, that's translated forever and ever. My deliverance may be into His heavenly kingdom. So what happened to our brother JC Monday evening, right? I mean, he got delivered. No, he didn't get delivered off the hospital bed by getting healed. Well, yes, he did. But not by the human healing that we would understand. His body is going to be buried Saturday. But JC was delivered into the heavenly kingdom. And no matter how long range my perspective is, the Lord's is longer. He is eternal. He is already in the eternal future. And right now, He sees what I will be in the equivalent of billions and billions of years from now. His perspective is longer than ours, no matter how long ours is. And so I can yield and we can yield to His handling of our deliverance. So when you feel like no one is standing with you, if you feel like everybody's forsaken you, be assured that the Lord's presence is surely with you. And He is strengthening you for His bigger purposes as He oversees you from His longer perspective. But the Lord stood with me. Be encouraged, brother. Be encouraged, sister. The Lord is with you. I hope that a lot of other people will be with you too. But no matter, no matter, His presence is sure and His purpose is bigger and His perspective is longer. Let's pray. Father, thank You that we could gather tonight and sing and share our needs and the needs of others. We could pray, Lord. We could lift up our hearts, our voices, our amens to you, Lord, and the needs that we have, and we depend on you. And Lord, thank you that we can look together in your word. And Father, we can be encouraged. We thank you for our brother Paul. He has taught us so much over the years of our Christian lives. And Lord, again tonight, we're encouraged just by his own experience and how you led him to write that down for Timothy. We know Timothy must have been encouraged by that in his own life. And Father, we're encouraged tonight. We thank you that you promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. Father, we are so unworthy of your care. And yet, Father, it's not dependent on us, but rather dependent on your Son, the Lord Jesus. So we commend one another into your hands. Father, we would pray that none of us would ever be abandoned by everyone like he was. Father, if it be your will, but maybe we'll be in a situation someday, we don't know. But Father, no matter our circumstances, may we look to you. May our minds be fixed on you. And we thank you in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.